Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Nagler's Never Right, a deep into the off-season edition of the latest podcast here at PackersNews.com. Sans guest this week. I had a very fun mystery guest lined up, but that's going to have to wait, I think, another week, maybe two, but I will have a surprise for you guys coming up here in the next few weeks. For this week, you're left with my lonely voice here on a late Wednesday afternoon. You know, things are pretty quiet right now around 1265 Lombardi. The rookie camp has come and gone. The Packers obviously signed five players off of that camp. Let go of a long snapper. Brett Goode still sitting out there, still listed on the Packers website as an unrestricted free agent, but clearly still part of the family. Lots of questions in my Facebook Live chat about the defense and about how the secondary might shake out. And I understand everyone wants to get to Christmas and open their presents. No one more so than me. I want to see how it shakes out too, but we got the off season stretching out in front of us. And I know everyone wants to talk about who will start at corner on the outside and who will play the slot position and who will take Micah Hyde's role and what will guys like Kevin King and Josh Jones be doing within the defense. And, you know, I say it every year, and I know people get kind of bored of me saying it, but it's the truth. We don't know. We have to watch. We have to watch it unfold. We have to see these guys on an NFL football field against NFL-level talent. And I know right now hope springs eternal, especially in the fan base. My Twitter feed is filled with people doing their rudimentary kind of looks at the undrafted free agents and film work on what guys have done at the college level. And that's all well and good, and I understand the need to go and watch that stuff. I mean, I definitely watch it too. But when it comes to projecting forward into what they're going to do in the NFL, man, it's a big jump. You know, it's a big, big jump. And this time of year, it's really kind of impossible to tell what's going to happen. I'll point you to a couple of instances in the past where we've seen guys kind of jump off the field in shorts and t-shirts in the spring, only to have them fade away in the fall. I mean, the most recent kind of episode of that is obviously Trevor Davis. Remember the first couple practices last year when they were in shorts and t-shirts and helmets, Davis caught a couple of long balls from Aaron Rodgers and everyone got all excited. Headlines were generated. People were buzzing. And then the moment the pads came on, Davis kind of receded into the backfield there, into the background. And that's, no knock on him. He's a rookie. He was a rookie. That's expected to happen. It's going to happen. But it's a long, long process to work these things out, to find out how these rookies are going to fit into the schemes on either side of the ball. So I just, want to preach some patience here. I know, like I said, everyone's trying to fill out their rosters, trying to put the depth charts together in their head, trying to project where guys are going to fit and what they're going to do. It's a very, very long process. The one thing I do understand is the questioning of where the pass rush is going to come from on the defensive side of the ball. When you look at the pieces they've lost and then you turn around and project what they're kind of, thinking going forward as far as fit and scheme, it does seem that there's still a little light when it comes to guys who can rush the passer. Vince Beagle was obviously the big kind of name coming out of the draft as their lone edge rushing kind of component that they've added. But for the most part, you look at guys like Dean Lowry, Kenny Clark, they're not pass rushers. They're not guys, they're guys that are going to be expected to step up. But for pass rush, it sure looks like they're counting on development from Kyler Fackrell and Jayrone Elliott. And obviously they have Clay Matthews, they have Nick Perry. Those guys are most likely their starters on the outside, unless, Matthews is kicked back inside. The pass rush is interesting. I spent, the whole lead up to the draft talking about how I thought they would focus on edge rushers. I tend to think if you have a guy who can win one-on-one on the outside, it does exponentially more for you as a defense than a guy who can cover better than what they showed last year, simply because, you know, if you have a guy who can win on the edge, win one-on-one, you know, win when you're only sending four as a defense, it masks a lot of things. It creates things. It creates havoc for the offense. Whereas if you have a guy who can cover, that's great, but he can still only cover for so long. The best cover guy in the league, still, you know, there comes a point where he's counting on the rush or disruption to get the quarterback off the spot. So I am interested to see how that plays out. And I do wonder if there is maybe not a plan, but the idea of keeping things open and possibly looking to free agency to still bolster it. At this point, the deadline has come and gone where any more signings they make in free agency no longer count towards the comp pick formula. And obviously the name Elvis Dumervil has been thrown around a lot, including by myself. I still think it makes a world of sense to bring him in. I understand why he's still sitting on the street. He's an older player. I missed half a season last year. You know, and after a 2014 season where he had a ton of sacks, he's only had, I think, nine in the last two. Now, some of that has been availability. And some of it, you know, the reason he probably is still on the street a little is, you know, he doesn't do much for you on special teams. And at this point, if you're bringing him in, you're going to be basically designating a roster spot for a pass rushing specialist or just, you know, for an outside linebacker in this defense. And I guess, you know, you have to weigh what you're going to be getting from your investment there. And that's the other thing is what you're going to pay him. You know, who knows what he's asking. So I did see a couple of headlines about people kind of wondering if the Packers would be interested in Dumervil. I wonder that myself, but if history tells us anything, it's that the Packers will go into the offseason, go through the offseason, go through mini camps, and try and look at what they have before making any moves. Now, I could say that, and I could stop this podcast, and they could sign him tomorrow, for all I know. But that is, yeah, the pass rush is the one area where I'm intrigued to see how they are plan to be successful going forward, because to me, that's the one spot. You know, I see additions to the secondary through the draft. I see additions to the defensive line in the draft and through free agency. And I see additions even to the inside linebacker spot with the addition of Josh Jones, whose, you know, early returns tell you that they're going to be training him both as a safety and as a linebacker. So I see all that, and I think, okay, I understand kind of how they're fitting these pieces together. But you know, edge rusher / pass rush, a guy who can win consistently on his own. I'm having trouble seeing that. Now, I haven't seen Vince Beagle go against NFL competition, obviously. I haven't seen him play a down in the NFL, so maybe he solves a big problem for them. Maybe he is, as my friend Justice says, the most underrated pass rusher in the draft class. I mean, that's entirely possible. Is that the plan? Is that what the Packers are counting on? We'll find out. You know, watch that space. Flipping over to the offensive side of the ball, the more I look at their offseason and kind of looking at it from a 30,000-foot vantage point and just kind of overviewing everything they've done or what everything Thompson's done, that Jahari Evans signing, that is the most important probably move of the entire offseason. I understand Martellus Bennett is obviously probably a better player and will probably be a more dynamic / productive part of the offense. Obviously productive because he can be productive. Can't really put up stats at right guard. But, you know, that Evans signing really opened up the draft for them. It meant that they didn't have to go reach or search for what was, you know, glaringly their one hole roster-wise, the one glaring one, where they really didn't have anybody viable to step in and play right guard. And Evans obviously gives them that for 1 year. And now they've got a bunch of opportunities as far as, you know, not only in the draft, but undrafted free agents who have come in who give them a year and who knows, you know. They've got an undrafted free agent playing at left guard. Maybe they'll have another one playing at right guard. I mean, there's no way of knowing, obviously. Again, this is something that you've got to let play out. But they've given themselves flexibility there. And I just really think it affected so much, not just on offense, not just their ability to operate and continue playing at a high level up front in front of their franchise, Aaron Rodgers, but the way it opened up the draft for them and allowed them to kind of stay true to their board. I just think it's an incredibly, I guess, underrated move. I mean, I get it, right guard isn't sexy, and it's there's a reason Thompson devalues the position. But that move, that signing was so important. And looking back at the offseason, it really, to me, is a big key for their ability to get the guys they got during the 3 days of the draft. Obviously, I'm getting a lot of questions about the backfield, Ty Montgomery, and then a whole slew of guys behind him, whether it's Jamal Williams, whether it's Aaron Jones, et cetera. Stand back now is the newest undrafted free agent who's been put into the mix. They got a lot of disparate parts, a lot of different athletic profiles there. I tend to think Jamal Williams is going to have the best chance to get major snaps early on. Looking at his running style, looking at what the Packers like to do, and most likely will want to do with the new couple tight ends they've added, Aaron Rodgers, mentioning quite a bit how much flexibility that gives them when it comes to run pass options at the line of scrimmage. I really think Jamal Williams will have ample opportunities early on to showcase what he can do. And I understand, I know there's a big kind of camp behind Aaron Jones and his ability, his breakaway ability. He's got some wiggle. He's got wiggle in a way that Williams doesn't. But I do tend to think Williams kind of shows the traits that the Packers really like back there. His ability to put his foot in the ground and get upfield is really reminiscent of a young James Starks. And we saw how effective Starks was his rookie year once he finally got on the field late in the season. I tend to think you'll see maybe that kind of, maybe not productivity, but that kind of athleticism and ability early on. And obviously a big part of this is going to be opportunity, how much each guy gets when, not just in this offseason during when they're in shorts, but in camp when they're in pads and getting reps, and who's able to, step up mentally. Because there are a ton of checks and there are a ton of responsibilities in the backfield in this offense. The media availability for Elliott Wolf, I asked about Jones and Williams and their ability to pass protect, and, Elliott said, we're going to find that out. That's because, number one, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback in Mike McCarthy's offense, or else you're not going to play. And I think fans sometimes kind of lose track of that because, they see their college highlights and you think, okay, get that guy on the field. But, if you're on the field and Aaron Rodgers makes the call, A, just to adjust the play, and you've got to get that adjustment. But then B, if it's from a run to a pass and the defense blitzes and you miss that blitz pickup, well, yeah, then there's Aaron Rodgers on the ground and there's you on the bench for the rest of the game, if not the year. So, that's going to play a big, big role in who gets opportunities, who gets more opportunities. Because A, number one, pass protection. Got to keep that quarterback upright. It's funny, too, because with all the new additions, all the new undrafted guys, the guys in the draft, especially those day three guys, it's all about special teams. It's all about, can you contribute? Can you be a gunner? Can you be on coverage? Can you be on, kick return? And it's hard because you got lots of young guys on this team year in and year out. Those year two, year three guys, they've obviously been around. They know the drill. You've got to step in as a rookie and showcase what you can do, and you got to eat it up. And some guys are born for it. Some guys are wired for it. And some guys aren't. We've seen that throughout the years. I am interested to see what a guy like Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams can do if given the opportunity. Or Vince Beagle. Don't get it twisted. Vince Beagle is going to have to contribute on special teams right away. That's going to be his ticket to the field. So all those things play in, and those are all things we're going to have to be watching for as the offseason goes along. Like I said, I know everyone wants to project. Everyone wants to talk about who's going to do what and how things are going to play out. Heck, yesterday on Facebook Live, I was asked what the final record was going to be. Let's get through a padded practice first before we start talking about what their record's going to be. Just wanted to give you guys a quick overview of where my head's at this time of the off season. Thanks so much for listening and for downloading. I really can't believe that people do. And like I said, going to be a fun guest either next week or the week after. Just keep it tuned here at Nagler's Never Right at PackersNews.com. Make sure you check out everything at the website, including Bob McGinn's farewell column. It went up Wednesday morning. The guy's a newspaper man through and through. It really shines through in this column. And, you know, it's a big-time loss, not just for us as a coverage team, but for readers and for fans. Bob was the best, and I think that's been well-documented. And nothing I can say can really add to that, but I know I probably speak for a lot of people when I say his work will be sorely missed on the Packers beat. And, you know, this is coming from a guy who pretty much started down this career path because of Bob, you know, reading what he wrote. He and Cliff Kristol were the two real reasons I even started a blog. So, yeah, he meant a lot to me, and I'm really going to miss him, and I feel incredibly honored that I actually got to work with the guy for a year. So, yeah, like I said, check out PackersNews.com. Lots to come, lots going forward. Stick with us throughout the offseason, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot for listening to Nagler's Never Right.